You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Our number three of the Roto Experts is upon us. Coming up next, the Fantasy Frenzy with these two guys, and of course, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Corey, what's going on?
What's going on, Greggy? How's everything going? Just chilling over here, Tuesday morning. Hopefully be pushed towards the weekend a little faster. This is a pretty slow grind, but had some good hoops talk in hour number two, and got plenty of stuff coming up in this hour. They all did some more of that FSTA draft last night, right?
We have like 20 rounds of the FSTA draft.
Here. All right, so that's cool.
19
rounds of the FSTA draft. Guess they'll wrap that up tonight. The awards be announced today too, so that'll be fun.
Good luck.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
Corey that. Corey Barsh nominated for host of the year, the FSTA, huh?
Yeah, but it's a tough field.
If you don't win, we're going to have to talk to
somebody. We'll find. We'll me and us, the three of us, Dante Fowler.
Matt Modica, what's happening, my man?
I'm feeling strong today. Like I said, we're getting another day closer to baseball, 3 weeks out to pitchers and catchers report. And I think I'm on my fifth draft champion, so... Which
round you went in the latest one?
In the latest one, early sixth round, last pick was Luis Castillo.
All right, cool.
Do you feel like...
I know the hype is on this kid and all that. I just look at it as he's not this like 21-year-old phenom that's going to be babied. He's 24. If you look at what he did last season... Overall, he pitched almost 180 innings. So, this is not somebody I think they're going to baby. And if you look how he finished the season, he finished it strong. They let him pitch. Wasn't like they were, nervous about giving him the innings late or cutting him off after five. So, there's just too much to like. And he made changes. The changeup was just devastating. Something that he implemented more to his game. So, you got to look at the starting pitching market, and it gets real, real iffy real fast.
We're going to talk about the FSTA draft coming up this hour. As Matt, would you say you are in the thick of baseball season for you?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely into it. I've been into it for a couple of months.
I know you've been into it, but you were dabbling. Now you're in it.
No, I'm in. Yeah.
Yeah, you're all in. Corey, I know you have about 2 weeks left before it's your time to get in.
Yeah, right after the Monday after the Super Bowl, I'll go ahead and sign up for the draft champion, start to get quiet with the player pool, and me and Matt will start training for Tout Wars.
The avocado shipment should be arriving any day.
There you go, right there.
Right, listen,
I'm going to lose weight, too.
Really?
I'm going to be a bionic man like Tom Brady.
You're going to lose weight?
You said, how is Tom Brady a bionic man? He cut his hand on a damn jersey.
Yeah, Jake wasn't buying any of your conspiracy.
Yeah, no, Jake wasn't buying it.
Shut up.
I'm not worried about that.
Right. We take a break. A bunch of NFL coaching to get to you, and then we'll get into the baseball. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
So along with some of the coaching changes we mentioned.
Hold on before you get into that. Sorry.
Sure.
Did you watch the Raw joint last night?
I watched Monday Night Raw last night, yes.
It was so it was the 25th anniversary.
25th anniversary Monday Night Raw. Frank Stanfill, my BFF, he went.
That's what I saw that. Where was it at?
So there, it was partially at the Manhattan Center down the block.
That's right down the street.
Right, literally right down the street.
Yeah.
And the other half was at Barclays.
Okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. They broke it up like that.
Not so cool.
Why not?
So the Manhattan Center, so it was a 3-hour event.
Manhattan Center, small joint.
Small joint, but the first ever Raw was there. So yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it was 8 to 11. Was the event. Obviously, Barclays Center packed, sold out the whole deal. Yeah. You know, it's an arena. So they wanted to do stuff at the Manhattan Center, and they thought it was cool. So the early rumor was that from 8 to 9, it would be like exclusively at the Manhattan Center. They have like these legends come out and whatnot, and it would be a thing. And the Barclays Center would kind of be 9 to 11, that would be it. So the problem is, they didn't. They kind of spread everything out throughout the night at both locations.
Yeah.
Fine. But the problem is, so much happens at the Barclays because it's a big arena that. A lot of people in Manhattan Center are like, what the hell's going on?
It's whack, yeah.
Nothing's happening here. And Manhattan Center is a small, is obviously very small, that's what we're saying. There's no big screens to watch. There's no like Jumbotron.
Now, the Manhattan Center standing room, I've seen Jay at Manhattan Center before. It was.
There's no screens.
Yeah, you just in there standing up.
So while all this stuff is happening at Barclays, these people that spent up to like $500 on tickets.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening. They're just standing there.
They're just in the joint.
So they're all screaming and chanting. Refund. And other derogatory chants because nothing's happening. So there, like, you had the Undertaker come out there for like 5 minutes. You had like old DX come out, and they're like really old dudes now.
Wow.
And like, that was kind of it.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
that's like a rip off. Yeah.
So then at Barclays Center, like, it was cool. Like, you had some people like come out, but like, nothing really happened. It was kind of boring. It was like underwhelming. Like,
really?
I used the word.
Didn't live up to the expectations.
I used the word on Twitter, underwhelming. Like, you had Austin come out and drink some beer.
Yeah.
Stun Vince.
I know them knees is bad now.
Stunned Vince. Drank some beer.
Yeah. Did he have the braces on his knee?
No, he just wore jeans.
Oh, you can walk now. Alright, that's cool.
He just wore jeans.
Was it bad, or is your love of wrestling stuff?
No, I think it was underwhelming is the right word. It was underwhelming. Like, Frankie was there, and I was like, Frank, like, how was it?
Now, he was in Brooklyn?
He was at Barclays. He was at Barclays, yeah. And I was like,
I thought Frank was at Manhattan Center.
He was at Barclays.
Okay.
And I was like, how was it? He's like, it was like fine. So I was like really jealous that I didn't buy tickets previously. Or did I like, talk to EY about maybe something?
Yeah.
And he was.
Why didn't you talk to Frank? He was right there. That's your
Frank
BFF.
Frank bought tickets with his brother.
Oh, okay.
And I was happy I didn't spend the money.
All right, cool.
So that's kind of the deal with wrestling. Or Boss walks in here. He even knew that I was annoyed.
Yeah, that's right.
That's crazy. I'm a wrestling guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just asking how it was. I saw it
on Twitter.
Last night. Yeah. And then Jaden had mentioned it for a minute.
Jaden watches wrestling?
He used to. And then he stopped, but then he's back.
He grew up.
That's not nice. Got a girlfriend. Now let me stop. That's not nice. You have a girlfriend, Greg. And so does Frank.
We both have.
And Florio. Y'all doing better than me, all of y'all. Wow.
Well, you have children.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That is cool.
All right, so other coaching changes here. I mentioned Todd Haley before. In Tennessee, it's interesting. So they hired Mike Vrabel, as we know. They fired Terry Rubisky, offensive coordinator. Fired Dick LeBeau, defensive coordinator. And originally, they were going to hire this offensive coordinator of Ohio State who had worked with Marcus Mariota in the past. I worked with Chip Kelly, and he was going to be the guy. And he's like, nah, I'm good. No need.
Yeah.
But who the hell is Mike Vrabel going to bring in as his offensive coordinator?
Todd Haley's gone.
I want to know how much money they offered. Obviously, they didn't offer him enough.
Clearly,
no. He might have his eye on something else.
What?
It could be further down the road.
What do you mean by that?
It could Ohio be State thinking Urban Meyer. When
maybe something like that. You know, that could be something he has on his mind. Something like that.
College coaching job.
Yes, it could be something that he has. That he's looking at. That he may have an inkling to. That could be coming open for him in the next year. That's nowadays, what that sounds like.
If you're in the right college spot.
Why leave?
I'd rather have that.
Why leave? You know, big man on campus. Who are they going? What are they going to do? They got to figure out something. They got to figure out something quick because they got that quarterback that still needs to be groomed, and you got that running game. They got to figure out what you're going to do with that. So, Vrabel coming in from Houston, not a defensive guy. He needs to get on the ball, get his staff together. He should have had this worked out already.
You know, it's interesting because Vrabel was actually asked about this whole thing. About like what are you doing? He's like, listen, Amy, the owner of the Titans, Amy her, it's Amy Adams something. She's Bud Adams' daughter, and she got married. But Amy Adams, she says, Amy trusts me to find the right guy. John Robinson trusts me to find the guy to help Marcus and get the right offensive guy in place. And I'm going to do just that. But Ryan Day was his first choice. And Adam Schefter reported that he's expected to remain in Columbus as the co-offensive coordinator. It's very strange to me.
Yeah, nah, this is Tennessee didn't vet this right. They brought a dude in here that can't hire a staff. It's come on now.
And I want to know how much. A lot of times money talks, so maybe you can get the right offer. You know,
that's true.
You're not going to make maybe it was a lateral as far as money, and you know if it was maybe the ante was upped.
Maybe that very well could be the case also, Matt. But you bring a guy in with no head coaching experience.
What about Bruce? Maybe bring him.
Bruce would be fun, but he's going to go on TV and make some money.
Bruce who?
Bruce Arians.
Do you think Bruce Arians is going to TV?
He's going to TV. Oh, supposedly everyone's already betting on him.
Really?
NFL Network, Fox, him CBS. Kango?
Oh, yeah. The Kango. See, that's one thing about it. That Kango sells itself, Jack. That's why Scott bought one. So when he go to day shift, you know what I'm saying? He come with that Kango. He even got to ask for the dig. Come over and sit down. They see that Kango.
Great. The Cardinals hired offense. They hired Steve Wilks. He got a job.
Look at that. Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
The Cardinals went and hired him to be the head coach. So
perseverance.
They
kept going back for the interview.
I could have sworn that it was going to be who did we talk about? Oh well, it was the Giants hired Shermer.
Yeah,
I thought that one was going to go to Vrabel and then, excuse me, Vrabel. That's a hard name to pronounce, or maybe it's just my dialect. And I thought Wilkes might end up in Tennessee, but yeah, nah. So I wonder who's going to be his offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Steve. So the rumor is that Al Holcomb will be the defensive coordinator who comes to Carolina.
That's
with
his guy.
That's his boy. They put in a different guy in Carolina than they do defensive coordinator. Yep. So it makes sense that you know he takes Al Holcomb with him. That's fine. And there's a rumor that I told you yesterday John DeFilippo is in the conversation. It looks like getting the first interview today, Darryl Bevel.
Oh, he's going to get the job.
Darryl Bevel.
He's going to get the job.
Who did not.
He knows the division.
So he interviewed with his old buddy Dan Quinn, who used to work together in Seattle, obviously, to be the quarterback's coach there. And Quinn's like, no, I'm good.
Quinn didn't need that quarterback coach job. What are you going to do, go in there and coach Matt Ryan? I mean, Bevel didn't need that.
Greg Knapp is now the quarterback's coach in Atlanta. Four offensive coordinator in Atlanta, actually. He's now the quarterback's coach.
Yeah, I didn't see him being a quarterback's coach.
So Darryl Bevel is interviewing to be the offensive coordinator in Arizona. Seems likely he'll get the job.
I think it's likely he'll get that job. we tend to see with these jobs, if you have familiarity with a division, you tend to stay in that division. And obviously, he has that with the NFC West. So, yeah, the Cardinals, they did a good job, the Cardinals.
You like this?
Especially if they get Bevel in there. When you hire a defensive coach, I want a strong offensive mind in there.
And you think Darryl Bevel's the guy?
This dude has been to championships. I mean, he ran the football on the 1 yard line, but not going to hold that against him.
Seattle is.
Yeah, Richard Sherman is.
Brian Flores is expected to replace Matt Patricia as the defensive coordinator with New England while the Jets promoted.
Where's he from, Flores? He's an in-house guy.
Well, the Jets promoted their own in-house guy, Jeremy Bates, to be the offensive coordinator with the Jets.
Where's the Jets' offensive coordinator go?
Just fired.
You just fired, right? So that'd be a guy I'd be looking at.
If I'm Vrabel, I'd do that.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. He needs to be on the phone with him now.
And of course.
But Vrabel should have had this figured out already. And Tennessee should have been asking him this when he was in the interview. Like, who are you bringing with you? So we can get the checks right.
I'm sure they did. Yeah. Maybe he said this Ryan Day dude. And they're in his own good.
I mean, you're right. But I would have had that, like, yo. What kind of bag you need? You know what I'm saying? What you need the money to look like?
Right.
So I can go in there and tell the people.
But you have to think Vrabel is not costing like that much money. He's not costing Josh McDaniels money.
No, everybody's getting like 5-year deals though.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's
what do they normally get?
I thought it was moves you like 3 with an option,
right?
Now it's like 5. At least 4 with an option or 5.
Right. Yeah,
so, I think
you're right. It's normally 3 and an option. I think you're right about that. The Giants, as we have said, officially hired Pat Shermer yesterday. We
I think that's a really good move.
And you've been saying it's the whole run.
I think they kind of lucked. I thought he was going to take the Arizona job. I thought that's where it seemed like. And I think the Giants made the right call here, not going with on the defensive side, taking the offensive side, especially where they stand in the draft and what he's been able to do with these backup quarterbacks. I mean, so
Yeah, absolutely. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to take a look at the Minnesota running back situation. Dalvin Cook looks like he's jogging, which is good. And I want to ask these guys tomorrow where Jerick McKinnon's going to end up. So I'll give you guys 24 hours or so to think about that. When we come back, let's talk a little baseball. The FSTA draft began last night. We'll take a look at what's going on there after the break here on Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Before we get into the FSTA, a little breaking news for you, baseball-wise, as ESPN has finalized an agreement with Alex Rodriguez
A-Rod.
To call Sunday Night Baseball.
Oh, to call
year.
It?
He'll call Sunday Night Baseball.
That's cool.
Him, Jessica Mendoza, and as a play-by-play announcer to be announced, he will call Sunday Night Baseball for ESPN during the regular season and then work for Fox
in the
that.
Offseason, in the postseason.
Oh, interesting.
So that's cool. So that's, he's not going to get married.
Why not? Why can't he marry?
He's gonna be traveling all over the country. You know what I'm saying?
No, this guy's on jet. He can go.
That's true.
He'll be back the next day.
It's not like
he can fly Sunday morning.
You ain't gonna see A-Rod at LaGuardia.
Goddamn lines!
Shout out to A-Rod. A-Rod, hey, let me tell you something. A-Rod is a person that has, since he stopped playing, he's become more likable.
This is crazy.
What?
Because it's all fake anyway.
What do you mean it's all fake?
It's not real.
What?
A-Rod's a fake dude.
No, he's a likable guy now.
He is a phony guy, but he is much more likable. Look, I didn't think he was. I didn't think I would like him in the position.
He's good.
And as long as he's not, for what he's got to do, I like it. I mean, I will miss Shulman. I thought
he's good.
Excellent.
Yeah,
I thought he was excellent.
Shout out to A-Rod though.
Where they live at, Greg? They want that cachet
Aaron
name.
Aaron and J-Lo have house here, Miami, L.A. I'm sure.
I mean, where do you know where the one that's here? I figured it'd be like in the same neighborhood as you.
I have no idea where that is.
Okay.
Three doors down.
it's on the top floor.
Okay, they live on the east, somewhere on the east side.
I don't live on the east side.
That's right, that's correct.
They probably don't live on the east side either, to be honest with you.
Then they live on the west side?
Yes. They probably live by Taylor Swift.
Where's Taylor Swift at?
She's downtown in like Tribeca.
Yeah. Okay. And Tribeca is the west side. Yeah, I can see them living in Tribeca.
Yeah. I don't even know if they live together. We don't even know if they live together.
They probably do.
I bet you they don't.
Hmm?
I bet you they don't. They've been dating for how long? Less than a year, right?
I think they've been dating for at least a year.
Really?
Yeah, probably like around the year. We'll see.
Yeah.
I bet you they're not living together yet. Like, she's got her kids are pretty young still, aren't they?
I don't know about her children. They ain't got a nanny. A-Rod, I mean, wait, A-Rod got kids too.
A-Rod's got two kids. Yeah, he got two daughters.
That's right.
With Cynthia.
Maybe they don't live together. I don't know. They should live together. They should get married. I like them together.
It's a good combination.
It is.
It works.
It does seem to be a good combination.
It was good. I feel like it was like better for J-Lo almost. You know?
Well, see, I'm disagreeing.
Okay.
I honestly like the older J-Lo much better.
Me too.
Than the younger J-Lo.
I like the older J-Lo too. J-Lo's improved to me.
Yeah.
Really?
I think she looks damn good.
Yeah, J-Lo has improved to me.
She always looked damn good.
But no, she looks better now.
Yeah,
she looks better than the Fly Girl days. Like, I like her better now.
Really?
Yeah.
Better than Green Dress days?
Yeah, I like, I like, she's cool, good out. She, no doubt.
Womanhood.
It's in the FSCA draft here a little bit. So the first round, I want to start there because, like, why wouldn't you start talking about a draft in the first round? Let's start there, where I've been told that the first three picks are kind of what they are, except the third pick wasn't what it was supposed to be. Matt Modica, Nolan Arenado went third in this draft. Your boy, Vlad Sedler. I've been told that, we get the graphic on the screen, nice job down there by Chris Ventura. I've been told that Paul Goldschmidt's supposed to go third. Arenado goes third in this draft by Charlie Wiegert and Vlad Sedler. Is that a surprise?
No, it's not really a surprise, especially with Vlad picking here. But you shouldn't, I don't care what anybody tells you. You should be making your picks based on what you believe these players will do. Arenado, you know, what? He's pretty much a lock to hit, if not 35, close to 40 again in the home run department. He should score 100 runs, and he's going to drive in circa 130 RBIs. So, I mean, that's pretty damn good. Now, would you want to go pull Goldschmidt? If you believe Goldschmidt's going to keep running at the clip he's running at, he puts up, you know, it's Apple, you know, it's two really solid players.
Right.
You're getting the guy in Coors who's, you know, he's filling these counting stats that, you know, we look for 30, 100, 100. He's giving you possibly 40, 100, 130. That's, you know, hard to argue with. There's many players. It all depends. How are you willing to set up your roster going forward? You want to go Goldschmidt? I don't have a problem with that. There's going to be people that are going to take Trey Turner third.
You know what I find it? Okay, my bad. Go ahead.
No. You can jump.
This is not really relevant. Maybe you can ask me this. It's probably more of an off-air thing. How did the combination of Charlie Wiegert and Vlad Sedler get together?
That I don't know. But they've been doing this for the last couple. Oh, you want to know what it is? It's the CGM.
Should Vlad play over there?
Yeah, I think
that's a hard place to play.
I think that's where Vlad was playing. I've never done the CDM, but I think that's how they got hooked up.
Okay.
And Charlie probably wanted to win, so he brought Vlad on.
That's an odd couple right there.
So, I mean, you can make arguments. Look, Charlie Blackmon, off of the last couple of years, this guy's got four stud seasons in a row. My problem with Blackmon, the only negative I'll say is he's going to be, what, 32? I think maybe the running is going to continue to it should definitely continue to decrease. But I think last season, he can't do better than that. Can he match that? You're asking for everything to go right. I think he's still going to put up a stud season, so it'll be five in a row. But I just don't think he can get back to last year. And maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, sometimes you have that career year. Mookie Betts is a guy I love starting my team off with. And I'm not trying to bash Blackmon. I would draft him. I'm just making the case. You can make cases for so many different players here. Mookie Betts, to me, was one of the top picks last year. The average was disappointing. I think he's more closer to a 300 hitter than a 260-ish hitter. And then you got Bryce Harper, who could be, if not, you know, the number two player in the game. So he'll go anywhere. Harper can go anywhere. I've been seeing from like 5 to 12.
And that's kind of what I'm noticing also. If you look at the first round, you have Arenado, Goldschmidt go 4. I've kind of been convinced that Trey Turner goes 5. And then all these guys, Bryce Harper, Chris Bryant went. Chris Bryant's an interesting one here. Mm-hmm. This is higher than I've seen Chris Bryant go anywhere.
No, this is. But I don't hate the pick. I mean, Chris Bryant really, the problem last season, where is Chris Bryant hitting in this lineup? Because if you're going to take him 7, you do need that 30, 100, 100. You know, even if he hits, whatever, 29 and bats 295 as he did last year, you can't be getting 70 RBIs in that mix. But, I mean, if Chris Bryant's the MVP of the National League this year, is anyone going to be shocked? Absolutely not.
That's like a position scarcity. Not position scarcity. That's a pick right there where they wanted to go ahead and grab that first baseman early and get that out the way.
Third baseman early.
I mean, excuse me, third baseman.
Yeah, it's
same thing.
I think it's
Anthony Rizzo's the Cubs first baseman.
There you go. I think, and he actually has him too, Anthony Perry.
Yeah, you got
is
him.
Is he a Cubs fan?
There.
Is he a Cubs fan?
No, he's a Mets fan.
Interesting.
He got him Noah Syndergaard in the third.
He's actually a Mets fan. See, the one difference. What you're going to see the difference here as opposed to, say, the high-stakes arena in, like, the NFBC is where the starting pitching goes. This is a 14-teamer. Kershaw went 13. Kershaw went 13. Scherzer 14. Kluber 15. Kershaw is going to go anywhere from five to probably
even with
eight.
That back.
Even with that back, people, you're not getting the only discount you're getting on Kershaw this year is he's not going second, first or second.
Wow,
he's going like fifth to eight. In those, this is a industry league where they're going to push pitching back.
They're going to play pitcher chicken.
Yeah, they've actually pushed it up the last couple of years compared to where they used to be. But that's why you see where some of these pitchers are going later than in other drafts that I've done.
Yeah, you know, this first round is a little bit different than I'm kind of used to. But I think what we're seeing here, Corey, a lot in the first round is that a lot of these guys are interchangeable right now. There isn't like a set seven or a set eight. Mm-hmm. Like there's maybe a set four or five. Yeah. But after that, take whoever you want.
Roster construction is very important in the way these guys are building it. So depending on who your first round pick is, kind of shapes the rest of your draft. So I think, I mean, obviously this is the expert dude who's been doing it for a little while now. So they're coming out and saying, okay, well, if I get this guy in this round, I'm going to set it up the rest of my team that way. So that's why I think you're seeing kind of the movement in the first round, like you said, the players being interchangeable.
What surprised me is that we went all the way until the end of the round, all the way until, what, there's 15 teams? Or
14.
14 teams.
Which is
all the way.
Why not put one more person in the draft?
No idea. they have no more serious XM employees.
Maybe that's what it is.
you get all the way to picks 13 and 14 before any pitcher goes off the board. Matt, you have said, like, listen, pitching is a thing now. It's there's no question about it. You've started hitter a lot, but you certainly are in agreement that pitching is very much in vogue at the moment. Here in the Experts League, our first true Experts League draft of the season, pitcher goes 13 and 14, Kershaw and Scherzer. And in fact, Colton and the Wolfman take two pitchers back-to-back in Max Scherzer and Corey Kluber.
Yeah, I was shocked that they went pitcher-pitcher here. It shows for them, this is a different kind of strategy. They were more of the, you know, pound at the hitting early.
Well, don't they have the thing, the smart system?
Yeah, no, they have the smart system.
What is that?
I forget the whole
acronym. Yeah.
Like that. But going pitcher-pitcher here for them is definitely a different move than from years past. If you get Clayton Kershaw at 13, bad back and all, I have no problem with that. Or loading up with a Scherzer and a Kluber, you have such an advantage. And with this different here, you can trade. So if you build up that pitching lead, you can trade one of these guys. You keep the other guy at some point. I do kind of like this, especially in the with the trade aspect in this one. But looking at these first round picks, like Greg said, it's pretty much interchangeable. Trout and Altuve will be 1-2, vice versa. And after that, you can put the pieces however you like.
We'll continue talking about that first round of the FSTA draft. We'll also get into this day in sports history and maybe take a look at the DFS slate. A lot more to come in the last few minutes of Roto Experts.
I'm sorry. Doing that golf?
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
When I was in school, Rough Riders.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This music was when you were in school?
When I was in college, yes. Rough Riders Anthem, stuff like that.
Okay.
DMX.
I knew that song.
Were you in the band?
No. Band, man, they used to go in. I was not in the band, though.
Sorry.
Yeah, never was my thing. I was in a different club.
Yep. Sounds about right. Okay, gentlemen, let's continue on here. Before we get back to the FSTA, I want to go over a couple of things that happened today in sports history. Just watching you.
Don't look at me.
All right. In 1943, the Red Wings scored 8 goals in 1 period.
Wow. Did the Detroit Red Wings score 8 goals? Wow.
All by Gordie Howe.
Wow. Who was the goalie? Jeez.
I don't know who they faced, but 1 year later, they faced the New York Rangers. That's in 1944. Today's a good day for the Red Wings, traditionally. Because 1944, the Red Wings scored 15 goals against the Rangers. An NHL record 37 points awarded were in that game. I guess assists and stuff, right?
Yeah, no, that's insane.
And also the most consecutive goals scored and the most lopsided game ever, a 15-0 victory.
Yeah, no, 15 goals in hockey. That's like, you know, winning a football game 70-0.
15-0, the Red Wings defeated the New York Rangers.
Wow. Blew them out.
1979! Willie Mays was elected to the Hall of Fame.
Wow, Willie Mays went into the Hall in 79. So that means he retired in, like, what, 74? Mm-hmm. Willie Mays obviously more than likely was a first ballot guy. So shout out to Willie Mays.
One of the greatest ever.
Yep, shout out to Willie Mays.
If not the greatest ever.
Yeah, if not the greatest ever, correct. But what the hell said Willie Mays? He had that Say Hey Chicken place. It was fantastic.
Really? Where was it
at? It had it in the Menlo Park Mall in New Jersey. Unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a Blue Ribbon fried chicken opening on the west side now.
No, I did not know that.
Breaking news to you.
Breaking news.
I don't know where
I like that.
By Matt.
Okay, oh yeah. Oh yeah, that area. Hey, where's the Major League poster at?
It's, we moved some stuff around.
I like that Major League poster.
Sorry.
I noticed it. I didn't see it.
It's been gone for
a while. It's been gone for a while. What are you talking about, Willie Mays?
It's been gone for quite a bit. It's been gone for quite a bit. Willie Mays Hayes, of course. Mm-hmm. That was Wesley Snipes in the original Major League. And then
Snipes before the juice.
Who replaced Wesley Snipes?
Was it Omar Epps?
Yeah, Omar Epps,
that's right. Omar Epps replaced Wesley Snipes. Nice job, there, juice. Corey.
Speaking of juice, yeah. They filmed that whole movie in my neighborhood. I remember when they was doing that.
Oh, yeah?
That Shaft. Not the remake of Shaft.
The remake of Shaft or not the remake of Shaft?
The remake of Shaft was filmed in my old neighborhood,
how
too.
How far we go to get it?
Another movie, too. Well, obviously, New Jack City.
Did you ever see any of the act stars?
Yeah, all the time you would see that, yeah.
And Charlie Sheen, you were partying with Charlie Sheen?
No, never. No, not Major League, Juice.
Oh.
All my Nuts was in Juice, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Major League was probably done in Hollywood.
Probably so.
It wasn't in Cleveland.
that makes more sense anyway. Quickly, we'll go over the DFS slate for you tonight.
That was all in today in sports history?
That's it. All I got today.
Oh, wow.
There's a bunch of birthdays, but like it wasn't exciting. Anybody
nobody
excited.
Cool?
No, nobody interesting. Sorry. All right. Tonight, the New York Knickerbockers are in action. Facing your Golden State Warriors.
Yep, the Dubs. Knicks out there taking on the Dubs tonight. What's the spread on that?
The spread is a 14-point spread. And it is the highest over-under on the board.
The Knicks, Golden State probably cover that. This is going to be tough to put any Warriors in your lineup because they probably sit the whole fourth quarter.
Probably the whole third quarter.
The Knicks ain't playing last night. The Dubs was off last night too. They probably drag them. Yeah,
it sucks. In fact, all 5 games on the slate tonight, all manageable, all games that you can really get into tonight. You started off with the Kings and the Magic. Remember the Kings? Scott LeBissieri had a really nice game for them last night. Magic, you don't see this very often. Magic at home are a 6.5-point favorite. The total in this game is 213.5. Cleveland travels to San Antonio. San Antonio, a 1.5-point favorite. This is probably the game that I don't really want to mess with, I think.
Yeah,
but I know it's close, though.
Obviously, both these teams played that bad pace right there. You see that pace is not good for DFS. 5-game slate. You're going to need either Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, too risky. On a 5-game slate, you're going to need to start LeBron James or Kevin Durant. LeBron James or Russell Westbrook will be must-starts tonight in a 5-game slate because those are the 2 players likely to lead the night in DFS scoring, and you're going to need one of those guys if you expect the cash.
I think Cleveland wins on the road.
This would be a
big win for Cleveland. The dysfunction stops and they go win on the road in San Antonio. I could see that too, Matt, just for the record. The Brooklyn Nets travel to Oklahoma to face the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder are a 10-point favorite. Total here is 214.
Russell Westbrook, obviously. And I think they have enough with a 10-point favorite. Mm-hmm. That's on the road. I think they have enough. I think you'll still see Westbrook just do too much. Even 3/4 of Westbrook is enough.
Final game of the evening besides the Knicks and the Warriors is the old school matchup. Celtics-Lakers from Staples Center.
Yeah, not too much cachet to it.
Yeah,
now.
Not what it used to be.
I'm excited to see what Jordan Clarkson does.
I'm about to say Jordan Clarkson. Yeah. I would play, what's his price in DFS if you can see that right quick? But because Boston should be, what, a 7-point favorite in this?
Four,
no, that's even better.
Clarkson's $7,000 on FanDuel, $6,500 on DraftKings.
He's going to be heavily owned, though.
Lakers have been pretty horrific at home this season.
Pretty horrific anyway.
Yeah, no. At least sometimes at home you could be somewhat.
I wouldn't be surprised they beat Boston tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I would be.
Hmm?
Yeah.
You would be?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be.
I'm a Greg.
Thank you. We talked about it before, but I want to get your thoughts on it, Matt. You, Darvish, has been talking to the Brewers. Supposedly, he has a 5-year deal in hand, and we know that the Cubs are actively negotiating with him. They've signed Chris Jimenez, who is his personal catcher, back in Texas. I know we're dot connecting. Is there anything to see here?
No, there is something to see here. It's basically, if the Cubs want Darvish, they'll get him.
Okay.
So it's, you know, Milwaukee, I like what Milwaukee's doing here because they need to be aggressive. The team, say, got a year ahead of itself in 2017. So look, Darvish is a damn good pitcher. You know, you don't want the 5 years, but that's what you're going to have to pay. And an arm like him, and if Jimmy Nelson could come back, because Jimmy Nelson was looking like an ace to me. Unfortunate what happened to him. But it all comes down to how bad do the Cubs want Darvish? Because if the Cubs want him, the Cubs will get him.
Is the free agency being held up by you, Darvish? Is that what people are waiting for?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, Darvish signs, I think Arrieta will be...
Quickly after that.
And you'll see the dominoes fall in the pitching area. And it's kind of the same thing with J.D. Martinez. If I'm Boston... You know, I understand you don't want to give 6-7 years. If you don't do that, up the annual value. I think that's fair. I think this guy's proven it. And the fact that it's an American League team where he can DH those last couple of seasons.
You, Darvish, went in the 5th round of the FSTA draft. Is he still an SP1?
Is he still an SP1?
What qualifies you as an SP1?
I mean, I want to ask, is he a top 12? Is he a top 15? What do you want to look at that? Because, I mean, pretty much after, say, maybe the top 5 and up.
I want to know if he's the top 12. That's what I'm asking. Is he
top 12? For me, he's outside the top 12.
Okay.
So, a top 12 pitcher, how many strikeouts you need from an SP1?
I'm assuming you want 200 strikeouts.
How many innings?
180 innings.
I mean, you basically want 200, but that's, ideally, you know, that's the big four. And Kershaw will probably give you 175, and he'll give you the 200.
Yeah.
And he'll give you, like, this minuscule ERA, so he's still worth it there. But he's outside my
durability got to be key for to be an SP1, too.
Who?
Durability.
Yeah, well, I mean, nowadays, look, I have no problem starting Strasburg, and I almost did in my most current one, and I kind of regret not doing it. The fact that I was able to get Jose Abreu in the 3rd round, looking back now, I wish I did start Strasburg in the 2nd. Strasburg gives you another 175 innings. I'm totally cool with that because he's going to put up well over the 200 strikeouts. And there is going to be a season, and possibly could be this year, that Strasburg wins
Cy Young.
He's that good. If you look at his... I mean, just go peruse his fan graphs page, or you want to go deep diving more. You can go to Brooks Baseball and all that kind of good stuff. This guy's an uber talent. He really is the main thing. And he missed time last year and still gave you 175, 200 strikeouts, and a 2.5 ERA.
Yu Darvish was the 17th starting pitcher taken off the board in this one after Shohei Ohtani as well.
Yeah, well, see, Ohtani in this league, though, you get to pick each week how you want to use him.
Okay.
So that probably gives his value more.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean...
That suckers.
For me, like I said, I have no... I think Ohtani is going to do good this year as a pitcher. That's what I'm targeting him as. I look at the 140. I look at 160 as being the top. I know the Los Angeles has said maybe 180. I don't see him pitching 180 innings. But I think it's going to be a good, say 150.
Should he go should he go before Yu Darvish?
No, I think Darvish should go ahead of him.
I agree.
But if you're going to get the hitting, then that changes it.
That's true, too. But if you can only use him one, if you could only use him as one per week.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I couldn't do that. I'm surprised that Dallas Keuchel went ahead of him, Yu Darvish.
Look, I'm
surprised that Chris Archer went ahead of him.
I'll say this. In three drafts I had, and this what two of them were before the trade, I've taken Cole. I've taken Cole, Keuchel. Those guys, to me, it's more closer for me than others.
Okay, it's more closer for you than me, for sure. I'll say that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. The All-In Kid, Jake Seeley, joins us next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Greg Sussman, Matt Modica, Corey Parson, and of course, now we bring in one of the co-hosts of the Fantasy Frenzy, host of On Target. It is the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. What's going on, Jakey?
What's going on, Greggy?
Not too much, man. The big question on everyone's mind, what did Jake Seeley think of Monday Night Raw?
I was a little underwhelmed, honestly.
Yeah, it's the word I used, too.
It was the member berries fest, and yeah, I'm sure it was fun if you were there in person.
I don't think it was. I disagree. I totally disagree with you. I don't think it was fun if you were in person.
They were screaming refund, right?
They were screaming refund at the Manhattan Center. Frank was at Barclays and was like, "Oh, it was all right." It was just bad.
Well, I saw for the people that were in Manhattan, I understand that because they didn't even have a screen. But the ones on the other side of things, like in Barclays, I didn't think were too bad. I enjoyed at the end with Finn Balor and everything with DX and all. That's what I wanted to see more of that. I wanted to see more of the new guys interacting with the older guys and stuff like that. I didn't just want to see them trot out on the stage and just stand there and then have some segments in the back. But the whole gambling thing throughout the entire show was stupid.
Yeah, it was. I agree. I'd much rather have seen more Balor Club DX stuff, like you mentioned to your Jake, and I thought that would have made a lot more sense, as long as they didn't get buried, which they didn't. And by the way, the David Wright jersey—that's a new addition to the set.
Yeah, I figured it's been a while since I added something to the backdrop. I haven't got a Funko in a while, so I figured I'd throw up David Wright.
So David Wright, I heard your interview with David Wright yesterday.
Yeah, we're gonna play it today on Target. Him and Chris Taylor.
How about that? Jakey, pulling a Scott Angle and interviewing David Wright.
Very nice.
Are you infringing on his territory?
Yeah. Angle.
No, but he did complain about Scott that he didn't win his fantasy football league.
So is he looking for a new expert?
You'll have to tune in and listen during On Target.
There you go. On Target, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, of course, today and every weekday here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I thought that... Yeah, that was a good interview. I'm asking questions I already know the answers to. I listened. But it's worth listening to, so make sure you check it out. Hey, Jake, are you surprised that Steve Wilks is now the head coach in Arizona?
No, I'm not. If you look at talked about it earlier when he was rumored for the Giants, is that Mike Tomlin called the Giants and recommended him. So I think it's not a surprise. I like to see some of the newer blood, especially after last year with McVay. And for what he was getting credential-wise, for to Tomlin to come out. I know Tomlin hasn't looked very good himself, but for him to come out and to give him some support, I'm not surprised that somebody gave him a shot.
Okay. Another interesting move was Mike Vrabel going to Tennessee, and I get it. I understand all of the New England connections there, but he's an offensive coordinator. And the dude that he wanted, Ryan Day from Ohio State, who worked with Chip Kelly, he said, I'm good. I'm good. Where's Mike Vrabel going to turn now? That's the most important position that needs to be filled.
And it's also that one was more confusing to me, especially because what the Titans need is somebody to fix that offense and fix Mariota and to stop playing this old school malarkey nonsense that they were doing, which you saw how bad it's hampered this team and exotic smash mouth and all that. They need somebody to come in and kind of revitalize that offense and get that offense clicking. They didn't need somebody with a defensive mind. The defense was good for what they have talent. They need more talent defensively. But yeah, that was a confusing one for me, especially as you just said. Now they are sitting there and they don't really have an offensive coordinator to go with them. That one's concerning.
Like, I get bringing in a New England guy, John Robinson, a New England general manager. You're bringing in someone you're familiar with. I understand that much. You got to have someone that's going to be able to help Marcus Mariota get better. That's the reason that Mike Mularkey's not there anymore, because he couldn't do that. Like, I hope Vrabel doesn't bring in one of these like Mike McCoy dudes or Ben McAdoo's that like have proven he's not going to be good enough to do that. You have to bring in a bright offensive mind, and I'm really scared that now that he didn't get his first choice, he's going to get a little bit nervous, and that's what he's going to do.
I definitely understand the concern. That's why, you know, I don't know what to expect from it, but I like the fact that Shermer basically already had Del Rio lined up for the Giants. Like, would you have the other mind already ready to go? That looks good.
For the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, and of course, Jake Seeley, the Fantasy Frenzy is up next. My name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of the day, and we will see you tomorrow.